So this morning, we want to continue the series that we began 3 weeks ago. And I'm rehearsing this each time that we start as we go through this series, because some of you may not have been here during the previous 3 weeks or may have missed the first week when we began the series. But this series is entitled Living Letters. And if we can bring up, Clyde, there, the scripture passage that we're basing this series on, I just want to read this to you. It's from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And Paul says this: "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone." Next slide. Thank you. "You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." And this really is the crux of this text, and it's the basis for this series, where Paul says that the Christians in Corinth, and really to all those that are in the Lord, because what he wrote for them, he's written for us, is that they are, each one of them is a letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And so having preached on that and laid a foundation for each of the next 4 weeks, and we've had two of them already, this is the third, we are listening to and reading the living letters of different people in our church. And we've had two wonderful weeks so far with Patty Collins and with Bill King, both sharing with us, just from their hearts, something of their story. And obviously, in 30 minutes or so, there's only a certain amount that each person can share. But we believe the Lord is in this. And from the emails I've had from people, the phone calls, just the anecdotal conversations, people sharing things with me. One person had a vision of what the Lord was doing in our church through this. A couple of others have given me prophetic words. God is doing something real through this. And I'm thrilled this morning to have Jenna Libby here with us now. And Jenna got married to young Ben here this summer. And she's going to share with us this morning a little bit of her story. And I just encourage you to give her your undivided attention while she's sharing, because the Lord will minister to you through this. And so, Jenna, first, thanks for being willing to do this. I know it's not necessarily an easy thing to do, but we're glad you're doing this morning. And I'd like to begin by asking you first, just as I did with Patty and with Bill, if you can share with us a little bit of your story, really, prior to kind of coming to faith commitment in Christ, prior to putting your trust in him. Share with us a little bit of your story, and also perhaps maybe even reflect on, as you look back on that portion of your life now, how you see the hand of God in that.
All right. So I grew up in Windham, Maine, which is like 6 miles that way. And I grew up as the youngest child, of having two older sisters and awesome parents, mom and dad. And they made sure that we attended a Christian church growing up. So looking at it now, I feel really lucky that that did happen, because I had some familiarity with believing in a God and praying to Jesus. So we did that when we were younger, and it just sort of happened with three kids, and we're all really interested in sports, that our schedules got really busy, and church sort of fell to the wayside, and our schedules were just sports year round, but we love sports, and that my parents are healthy advocates of that, but they never forced us to do anything, but they just sort of introduced us, and that became our lives. And but throughout that time, my dad always made sure to remind us of faith and praying at dinner time and sharing his testimony with us. And that was really important. Even though we were pretty young, it was just a nice reminder to hear the commandments, even when we were away from church. you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. So it was, I felt really fortunate for that, but I was still really young. So in middle school and high school, we weren't going to church anymore, and it was in the foundation of my life, but that wasn't important to me at that time, because I was just like the youngest daughter that was slightly, you know, really outgoing and, you know, just not crazy, but I loved playing sports and socializing, and that was my life until, you know, it was time to go to college, and that was like an expectation of my parents, and, you know, sort of all your friends are going, and society sort of pressures you to do that. And so, like, at 16, 17, you start thinking, oh, like, what do I want to study at college? You know, what is this place? Where am I going to go? And both my sisters, you know, that was their path as well, so I always looked up to them. And I really just made a decision to go to Orono, the University of Maine, Orono, because it wasn't that far away, and I had friends going there, and my sister was up there too, so it was sort of that comfortable next step. Realizing I wasn't going to be the athlete anymore and play sports year-round in college, because it was Division I, so I was like, all right, I'll take a break from that and do intramurals, meet new friends, and, you know, do the freshman year of college like everyone else. And it just wasn't clicking for me, and it seemed like everyone sort of knew what they wanted to study, and they knew they're going to be there for 4 years, and I was sort of freaked out by that, because I didn't know why I was really there or what I was studying, and I got by with good grades, but I never, like, pulled an all-nighter to study. I wasn't super academic because I wasn't passionate about what I was studying. And then, you know, you tried the partying thing at college, and it didn't ever really do much for me. So I was like, okay, you know, that was fun, I guess. And now it's the next day, and I don't feel that great, and I'm not really happy. I don't really need to live for that, so I never really felt like I found, like, my social niche. And I, you know, I did club sports, but I don't know. I felt like I didn't really have an identity anymore. And things were just confusing. I tried to stay, like, positive and got into snowboarding and keep busy and meet new friends still. But I remember being home that Christmas break, and my mom just sort of asked me how I was doing, and I just sort of looked at her, and I was like, I don't know. Like, I was just like, I'm not really doing that well. And she just sort of realized that I didn't really have, like, the strong answer of how I was doing. Usually it's like, oh, good, you know, blah, 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 and I'm the talker because I'm the youngest child. But I was just sort of, like, perplexed and, you know, just feeling really empty at that time. And I finished my year at Orono. I thought, you know, I was like, can I make it through this whole year? But I did. And during that time, looking back, God had his hand a part of my life, because my mom and her branch at work all got laid off, you know, the whole corporate stuff. But and she was really sad, because that was a part of her life since she was my age, and, like, you know, just that was her life, where she worked at Unum, and it was a hard hit for her. And me seeing, like, my mom being sad was hard. And you know, my dad was just, like, so awesome to her. And so God told me, you know, you're gonna write her a nice Valentine's Day card. And all of a sudden, I wrote this poem about faith, and I hadn't really thought about having faith or knowing a God since I was, like, 10. And it really just brought peace to her and my family. Everything's gonna be okay.
Did you? So that that season in your life was really, would it be fair to say that that was a season where you were really struggling with the whole issue of identity, a sense of maybe loss of identity or kind of discovering that?
Yeah. I felt like everyone sort of knew what they were up to, like what they were doing in life. And I didn't really feel like I belonged anywhere. And I always had, this natural ability to be outgoing and social and just sort of enjoy life and, run around the soccer field and just, have a blast. But then all of a sudden, like, everything was sort of gone. And looking back, it's just cool because during that time, I God still gave me this inner, spirit to write a poem about faith. And I hadn't had any faith in myself, or I was sort of very, confused on who I was.
Yeah. So you went through that process that took you into, the time that you went off to Orono, mm-hmm. For your freshman year. Tell us about how from that place where you were kind of struggling with a sense of identity and a little bit perplexed and confused, and then the Lord did that kind of seminal thing with you in terms of that poem for your mother and the whole issue of faith. How did it go from that place to a place of you really putting your faith and trust in Jesus and getting to know him? What was the story, as it were, of your salvation like? Can you share that with us?
Yes. So pretty much after that freshman year at Orono, I decided I'm not going back, and I still had no strong idea of what major I wanted to choose or what I wanted to focus my life on. So still pretty weary, but I knew something had to change that next year. So a friend and I moved out west and to Northern California, and just sort of did the ski bum thing, / I did take classes at a community college, and it got really tough out there because that friend and I, really weren't meant to live together and to do that endeavor at 19 years old. So from there, the still sort of lost, confused thing, but it was exciting because I was meeting new friends and I was, getting beautiful runs on a mountain out west every day, but I knew I was still empty, and that, partying with these new friends still didn't give me this everlasting happiness, and I still didn't feel like that made me whole, and I always needed like a deeper relationship with people. I really valued people's relationships with me, and but I didn't have one with myself at that time, so I was like, living on my own. I just decided, after the new year, something needs to change in my life, because it was just getting really dark, and I started, my journal was just really dark, because I was just so confused on who I was. Even though, people wouldn't have known that, talking to me at school or whatever, I wasn't like, having a pity party, but inside or when I was alone, I would just sort of be like, why am I here? Who am I? And so that new year, I was like, okay, I want to meet new friends. I got a new job at this gym that was right up the street from where I lived. And it just so happened the coworkers at the gym, attended a church, and it was in my neighborhood, like literally around the corner from where I live. And I was like, finally, I was just like, oh, can I go? You guys are, like, in my head, I was like, they're so nice, and, they're into health and fitness, and they're just positive people. And they weren't too scary, so I was like, I can go to church with you. And you sort of have this, idea of what something might be, but you don't actually know what it's like until you try. So I got up and I went to church and I walked that 50 feet or whatever, 100 feet down the road to the church. And it was awesome. It was a lot like here. And they were just really full of light and of the Holy Spirit. And God, was just really immersed within the people there, and you could see how happy they were and how much hope they had in their lives. And I was like, wow, I want some of this. And they were really, you know, laid back and had a great worship team, which meant a lot to me because it was very inviting. It wasn't intimidating, or I felt like I could really actually connect to what they were saying. And I was like, this is awesome. So pretty much from there, I remember just, you know, walking my roommate's dogs and just sort of started praying and you know, remembering what I did when I was younger, because that's what I did. You know, I always did pray, and I just remembered what I was thankful for, and I would walk in that, and I would just take the sermons and the messages from Jesus and the Bible and realize that, you know, I can be forgived, and that was just, like, so important to me. So I just started walking in that prayer, and things started lightening up from there.
Would you say in your coming to Jesus and your encounter with him, we were talking a little bit about this earlier, C.S. Lewis, in one of his book Surprised by Joy, which is really the autobiographical account of his salvation, says that getting saved is a little bit like a guy on a train going from France to Germany. And there's a couple of ways that you can get there in terms of your consciousness. One is you can be wide awake and you're fully aware when you cross the border from France into Germany and you know you've left one country and arrived at another. But for some people, coming to Christ is like a guy that's on that train. He's heading to that border, but he falls asleep. When he wakes up in the morning, he realizes he's in Germany and no longer in France, but he can't remember exactly when he crossed the border. And for some people, coming to Christ is like a moment in time that they can remember, a precise, captured kind of moment. For others, it's more of a season and a progression, and they suddenly realize they're no longer in France, they're in Germany, they're no longer outside the kingdom of God. They've now crossed that border, and God has transferred them into his kingdom. What was it like for you? Was it more of a moment in time, or was it more of a progression of coming into relationship with Christ?
I would say it was a progression within my life, but also there was key moments that I was just blown away by God, and I just really committed myself to God and Jesus, knowing that he's a God of miracles and will always be there for you. So it just so happened, you know, I met another friend and he shared his testimony to God and how he came to Jesus. And, you know, it was not a pretty story. And I was like, you know, really in awe. And I was like, I don't even remember asking him to share his testimony with me, but you know, God connects those people and those dots for you when you're seeking and when you're open to that. And so it was a progression, but it wasn't long after that there was a night where I was just really overtired and I hadn't had a lot of sleep because I was sort of wrapping up school and work and deciding whether to stay there for the summer or move back home. And I didn't have a lot of sleep, and I was with group of friends, and like the next morning when I woke up, I never had seen Earth the way I did, and it was just so beautiful, and I was just really surprised by how much joy I had and how thankful I was to be alive and have these friends to share their testimony and to reach out and tell me that God has a plan in my life. And hearing that from a friend is like, whoa, very cool. But so it was a progression, and, you know, next thing I know, I sort of decided to travel a bit and not move home, but also not live anywhere else. So I sort of was living a reckless life of, like, okay, I believe in God, and I have this Bible I carry around, but I was with a friend that traveled a lot for work, and I just once again, I was sort of losing my grounding, and but I knew I believed in God and that God had a plan for me and that God wrote my story. So I had that to, base myself on when times were hard. And so eventually I moved home, and this is when another moment where I really committed myself to Jesus. I moved home to Maine in a really lost, depressed place again because I just traveled all summer with no sort of, not really a healthy balance in my life. Even though, when times were tough, I'd still refer back to my Bible or I'd go to my friend's church, wherever we were, in that West Coast area. I was still trying to reach out to God, but I really wasn't in a healthy place to have a clear mind of what that was like. So I moved home, and I reached out to my friend Tessa. Well, her name's Manning now, but Tessa Jeffers, and she went to the Vineyard. And this was when the supernatural, vision of just seeing Jesus every Sunday, pointing up at these podiums saying, are you ready to step up in the kingdom of God? And I saw that every Sunday. I went to the Vineyard for like a month, and finally I was like, okay, I'll draw it. Like, I'm not an artist, but I'll draw this. And just seeing that beauty and power is when I really just wanted to commit myself to Jesus and to this lifestyle and this identity, because it was just much more beautiful than the one I had before.
That's amazing. Now, you are less than half the age, although I hate to remind them, of Patty and Bill that shared the last 2 weeks. You're 25?
24.
24, sorry. You're definitely less than half their age. So you're about a third of mine. So here's the thing. Even though you are only 24 years of age at this point, you have a story that God is writing in your life. You are a letter from Christ, every bit as vibrant and real and edifying as their wonderful testimonies and the letter God's writing with their lives. So even though yours is so much shorter than theirs to this point, it's just as significant, just as rich, and just as full, because it's being written by Jesus. So tell us a little bit, as we close out this time together this morning, about the journey, really, from that moment that you talked about coming to the Vineyard and the Lord ministering to you and saying, you're going to step up for the sake of the kingdom, and you coming to that place of saying yes and getting a sense of who your identity is in Christ. What would you say has been the journey from then until now?
Pretty much, I was almost like, I just felt like it was Christmas morning at first all the time. I was like, I gotta tell people, like, this is happening to me. I want all my family and friends to, believe in Jesus. And I was just like, woo, what do I do now? And but I still had to walk out a lot of forgiveness for myself and over other people in my life that might have left an impact on me. So it took, probably like a year or so of just with God and advice from the Bible on how to do that and just let go and let the healing take place. And just sort of washing away the old habits and the old ways and the old lifestyle that needs, it needs some edification of being on this earth, and it's not always in a positive way. So just trying to ditch those old habits and working on just healing and progress, and God just was always there, and they were always showing me just beautiful things, and connecting people into my lives, and people giving me words from the Vineyard of that. Just I was like always blown away, like, how do they even know that? And it's like, oh yeah, that's what God does. And pretty much the life after of coming to Jesus, it hasn't been easy, because as you become more and more stronger in your faith, sometimes the enemy tries to come in and tell you lies, and it's not fun. So I'd have like these awesome you know, visions or revelations and through Jesus. And I'd just be so happy and joyous. And next thing you know, I'd have this really dark dream where the enemy would, you know, just try to really scare me off. And that's not easy. But God always gave me the tools to stay strong.
Well, we appreciate just who you are and the strength of God's love in your heart, your willingness to come and share with us this morning. Be open, Jenna. And we rejoice, we really do. These are not just words. In the letter that God's writing with your life and letting us read some of that this morning. So thank you. Okay, let's stand together this morning, can we? And I'm going to ask those that are on the ministry team if you would come up at this point. So if you're assigned to the ministry team to minister this morning, just come up here. We're going to give people an opportunity to receive prayer. So, Father, we thank you this morning again for Jenna. We thank you for the letter that you're writing not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God in her life and through her life. Thank you that we've had the opportunity this morning to read some of that letter that you're writing, to get a sense, Father, of the way of the words and the sentences, the paragraphs, as we've said, the very pages of that letter that you're in process of still writing, Jesus. Thank you for ministering to our hearts as Jenna opened her mouth this morning and shared from her heart with us and to us, Lord. And Father, now we stand before you. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to minister. And I encourage you this morning, if you'd like to receive prayer, there may be something in something that Jenna said that resonated with you this morning and something that you want to press into the Lord about. It could be getting rid of old habits that still cling to you in your journey. Sins that so easily trip you up. And you just want to bring them to the Lord and lay them at the foot of the cross this morning and experience the power of God's deliverance. Or it may be that you just want a touch, a fresh touch of the Father's mercy and forgiveness in your life. Or perhaps a sense of identity. Just knowing who you are in God, or whatever it is you might need prayer for this morning, I'd like to invite you forward. If you'd like to come, come on up now. And these guys that are here will lay hands on you and pray for you. So you just come as you're ready this morning. And Father, again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the way that you are knitting us together in love as each one shares their story, as each one conveys to us just what you're doing in their life with your Spirit and the letter that you're writing with them. And Father, I pray that you'd bless each one here this morning. Bless this time of ministry now. We commit it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.